Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This week we're going to break it up a little bit. We're going to have three different authors come up, and they all contributed to a book called Soaring on Angels' Wings. And first up is Crystal Jones. Crystal, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Crystal, where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Haven, myself, along with my mother and my sister, my mom being a single mom, and I was the youngest. 4 years difference between myself and my sister.
Okay, tell me a little bit about your mom.
My mom was the best mom ever, and she didn't pay me to say it. My mom did everything for us. She took us everywhere, to the beaches, to the parks, and always showed a lot of love. We always had nice things. She made sure that, you know, we looked good and all of those things, and she was just a great mom, very supportive.
What's something or one ethic that you got from your mom that, you know, you live with every day?
Just being kind to people. My mother was always just the kindest soul, and she still is. But she's a little grumpy, you know. They get a little older, they get grumpy. And I feel like I follow in her footsteps. My mom was always the go-to. Everyone stayed with her. Everyone that was moving and in between places, she had all the cookouts. We had all the celebrations. And now that's me. I'm the one who organizes everything. All holidays are at my house. She's there telling me what to do now. So I would think that that's one of my best traits that I got from my mom.
You went to school in New Haven? What kind of school? What schools did you go to?
So I went to Polly McCabe when I was 15. I was a young mom. I had my son when I was 16 years old. After Polly McCabe, I went to Whipple Cross to finish high school. I had a child then, so my main focus was just get in school, get out of there, and get home to my baby.
You then in your life, what kind of jobs have you had since then? What did you?
So since then, I've been a hustler myself. Always pretty much held two jobs. Currently, I've been working at my job for over 20 years at the UI company, which is where I met one of the other co-authors of the book that I'm a part of, which is Soaring on Angels' Wings. So I've been doing pretty much customer service for probably the last 30, 40 years.
Now, being a mother at a young age, you have that drive in you to work and stay focused. I mean, that's kind of not seen in the youth today. What advice would you have to give to a young lady right now who's making decisions that you had to make?
Just don't give up and to keep going. And that's the same advice I would give to anyone, any older person today, because I've been in situations where I've had to struggle as a young mom and even as an adult and even today struggling with grief. But I don't give up. I just keep going.
So let's get to it. So what made you become a writer, and how do you get involved in this book?
So how I got involved with the book was through one of my coworkers. We worked together for some years, Tracy Dancy. She is the visionary behind the book, Soaring on Angels' Wings. She experienced child loss as well, and that was one of the things that we had in common back when we worked together. I had experienced a child loss many years ago. I lost a baby who was just a month old. So that was something we had in common. We always talked about it. Then when Tracy experienced a major loss again of a child, I was always watching her. And I was just always so proud of her because I watched her go through pain. And I felt it because I felt like I was close to her and her child because I watched her child grow up. So watching her and seeing her, visiting her, and knowing that she was grieving and what she was going through, and it being almost unimaginable for me, even though I had experienced it, it just, I felt so much pain for her. So time goes on, and here I see Tracy. Tracy's on Facebook. Tracy's on Instagram. Tracy's advocating. Tracy's going to walks. She's doing all these things in honor of her daughter. And I end up losing a child of my own. Now I'm seeing Tracy still doing these things. And I'm saying, how in the world is Tracy getting up every day? How is Tracy doing these things? Because it hurt me so bad when she lost her child. Now I lost mine, and I feel like there is no coming back from anything. There is no advocating for anything. There is no smiling on Facebook. There is no walks or, you know, celebrations. I can't do those kinds of things. And you know what? I saw Tracy started posting about this book, Soaring on Angels' Wings, and, you know, she was recruiting authors. And so I saw it for a while, and finally I reached out to Tracy one day. She told me about it, got all the gist of it, and I said, I'm going to do it. I was so hyped up, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be like Tracy. So I did it. The minute I did it, I was like, oh, man, what did I do? Now I have obligated, you know, now I'm obligated to do this thing. So I said I'm going to do it, and I have to keep my word. I can't do this. So it was tough. It was hard. But Tracy's so, she's just so resilient. She's very persistent.
I was going to ask you that.
Tracy was on my back, but not on my back. And that, seeing her strength, oh, my God, I'm going to cry, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But this girl, she gave me a push that I never could have imagined in a million years that I had it in me to do it. And something said, you know what? She's pushing me for a reason. I wrote what I had to write. I had to dig deep, and I had to go through a lot of things. And I thank God that I was able to do it, and I was able to finish it and honor my children.
How much healing has brought you sharing your story?
So much. Just to be sitting here today is a part of my healing journey. Being able to talk about my kids without crying all the time is just, it's like overwhelming when I can do it. Like I'm so overwhelmed right now, but I'm overwhelmed with joy because I can speak their names and I don't have to be sad about it. And I can talk about my grief and my journey and not be sad about it, because I was stuck in a place that no one could have ever told me, no matter how much praying I did, you could not have told me that I am the only one in this world that's going through this much pain and there's something wrong with me. I love my kids too much. I don't know what I did wrong, but the pain was just so unbearable. Writing and reliving and having to talk about it somehow has given me so much peace. And I just feel like I want to keep going for them and for myself, for my journey, my grief journey. But I really just want to keep going for my kids.
You've had an example of resilience in your life through your mother. You've seen her struggles. You've seen her do her thing. And then you go through life, and now you have another example. How important is that for a young woman to see that and have an example of resilience and know that that exists in them already?
I think it's very important. I have a daughter who is 29 years old, and my daughter has watched me, and my daughter is also grieving. So not only has she experienced such a difficult loss, she's watched me go through it. And my daughter, for me, what she did is she felt like she had to protect me. So my daughter wasn't grieving the way she should have. And I would definitely say that one of my greatest things that I can say to someone, or best advice I could give, is to take time for yourself. Take time and think about what you have to think about. Grieve what you have to grieve. Not worry about others. I did that myself. My daughter did it for me. We actually did it for each other. We were hiding from each other in the same house. And my daughter has finally said, you know what? I have to take care of me now. Now I have to seek help for myself because I have to go through my own grieving process. And she put hers on a back burner for me. And my greatest advice would be to never do that.
Our time is already up. This has been the kind words of Crystal Jones, one of the co-authors to Soaring on Angels' Wings. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is the Electric Drum, and right now I am joined by Tracy Dancy, the brain power behind Soaring on Angels' Wings, and she also has a story. So tell me a little bit about growing up in Long Hill up in Waterbury.
Hello, my name is Tracy Depew Dancy. I was born and raised in Waterbury, Connecticut. I grew up in Berkeley Knights, Long Hill Projects, LHP for life. I had some great moments growing up, but then I had some not too many great moments. Growing up, my childhood consisted of after school programs up at the clubhouse or summer schools down at Wilson Woodrow School, where things were free for the kids back in those days. I was also a pom-pom girl with the Berkeley Knights pom-pom cheerleading squad. We traveled in competitions under the tutelage of Ronald Maness. So I'm grateful for those memories. And then we had our little after-school sessions with the pillar, one of our pillars of Long Hill Projects, Miss Dot Teasley, who's recently passed, who would bring the girls over to her house, teach us how to cook and sewing, you know, those things that we would need growing up throughout life. But then I also seen a lot of traumatic things growing up. We lived in buildings. There was like first floor, second floor, third floor buildings. And there were people that was on drugs that I would witness as a young age. I would also see, I remember one day where my parents, my stepdad at that, was cleaning up blood from the hallway. So it was a lot of crime growing up there during my time.
So you grew up with your mom and your stepfather.
My mom, my stepfather, two brothers and two sisters, and I would be the oldest.
What kind of example of a mom was your mom?
I absolutely love my mom. My mom was strong. She was a housemaker, a home wife. So I remember coming home from school every day. Dinner would already be on the table. So she didn't play. She made sure those meals was around the clock done. We got our homework done. So my mom was gentle, nurturing, and supportive.
And your stepfather stepped in? What kind of man was he?
Lord help me. My stepdad, for a while, he was a cool stepdad. He became my stepdad when I was 2 years of age. My mom married him. Unfortunately, I didn't get to know who my biological father was until I was 12. And so during that time, I created a bond with my biological father, which kind of upset my stepfather. So it wasn't that great after.
But when it was good, what kind of a man was he, and what kind of ethics did he instill in you?
What kind of ethics did he instill in me? He was definitely a hustler. And when I say hustler, he was definitely a hustler. I can't really speak on the type of hustler he was, but he was definitely making sure that we didn't lack or go without.
How did you come about for this idea for this book, or who guided you or who gave you the seed?
Well, because this book would actually be my third book, and because the first book project that I wrote about, I started sharing some of my childhood, my life story growing up and where I was from. And then from that book project became a second book project where I talked about expectations. And then I was like, you know what? I think it's time. I have my own story to tell.
But before we go, what's the name of that first book?
The first book is called Phenomenal Women, Sisters Inspire Sisters.
The second?
The second book is called The Fire Girl Code of Conduct, 12 Laws to Living Your Life as a Girl on Fire.
Okay. And then now?
And now we have Soaring on Angels' Wings, Grief Through Our Eyes, which is my project. And I'm extremely humbled and honored to be a part of this project with some amazing co-authors.
Now, the grieving process is different from everybody. As you put these stories together and gather these women, what is the thing that they most have in common?
In regards to, I believe we all, the fact that we've all lost children is what connected us to each other. And we can bear witness to each other's pain. And for me, because I knew how it felt to feel alone in that grieving process. So it was important for me to establish a community of women, of fathers, parents that just understood what type of level of pain that child loss would bring. And so when I started recruiting for this project, I said, listen, God, I'm going to need you to send the women, the men, the parents my way, because there were some that signed on for the project and backed out. And so maybe because they weren't ready to open up and peel back those layers, because this project would have caused them to be very vulnerable and transparent. And so I said, God, the people that you send to me, you're going to have to strengthen them like never before. You're going to have to strengthen us to get through this, because we are going to have to relive those moments in order to bring forth this story.
It's a process of grief. It's almost therapeutic, right? It's a therapeutic process. You have to acknowledge what happened. You have to fight your way through it. How was it? How has it been as a community to go through that process together?
Together. It's been a journey. And I want to say, because we had a literary coach, and so we would meet on Saturdays and have our writing sessions. And before the writing sessions, we would talk. And then our literacy coach, Miss Monique Denton, would pause, and you got 30 minutes. In this 30-minute time, I need you guys to write. Silence everything and just write. And so when we came back to share what was written, there were some days where we weren't even able to get anything out. Some of us were more emotional than others. We had to stop and pause. We cried together. We laughed together. And we kept encouraging each other to push forward, to realize what the importance of this project was, because it's bigger than me, it's bigger than them, it's bigger than us, and we are on divine assignment.
As a writer, you have to be vulnerable.
Yes.
How do you maintain that openness? Because you're reopening older wounds that are healed, but you have to tap into that. Can you go through that process a little?
It was hard. For me, I think at this point, because when I was heavy in the grieving process, my faith, as I would tell all, I put on the shelf. I was upset with God, so I didn't have any communication with him. And as I felt him tugging on my heartstrings, giving me this assignment, I had to kind of like tap back into that faith. And so it's like, I can't do this without him. You know, I cannot do this without his power, without his strength, and without his guidance. And so I always have to pray heavy now. And even when I encounter other women going through this stuff, I'm like, listen, I have to take a sabbatical. Like today, I'm having this conversation with you. Tomorrow, I'm not going to talk to anybody, because now I have to kind of like put myself back in that positive headspin, because now I'm talking about grief, heavy stuff. And so when we're talking about heavy stuff, I have to take care of me. That's when the self-care comes in. I have to take time out to replenish and regroup.
Can you talk a little bit about there being another side to this? Because there are people who have not even started the process, have not started the acknowledgement, but then there's a valley that you have to go into that's dark. And then you have to climb back out of it. Can you testify how there is light at the end of the tunnel?
There is definitely light at the end of the tunnel. And the way I see it is, for me to live in grief was for me to die in my grief, right? And I understand when we choose not to heal and talk about the things that we're going through, and especially our loved ones, our children, it's like we're suppressing their memory. And I said to someone, I said, if I don't come out of this and live, who's going to keep my baby's memory alive? Who's going to honor their legacies? You know, how is the world going to know who they are? And so you have to fight not only for you, but for them, because if you die, their legacy die. And so I tell people all the time, there are ways to navigate through grief. We don't have to live in it. So right now I'm living through grief. And not in it. And that's what I want to tell the world. You do not have to live through. You don't have to live in it, but you're going to live through it.
Again, I always like to ask for some advice to other people who are in the community, who are grieving loss, who, even if it's not a loss of a child that passed on, but just lost a child that's incarcerated, that's in facing addiction, because that's a form of loss too. Yes. In our community. What advice would you have for that person right now?
I would tell them not to be silent about it, to grieve out loud. Grieving out loud allows others to show compassion. And when others show compassion, then you realize you're not in this alone. You're going to cross path with someone else that's going through exactly what it is that you're going through. And you guys can help each other overcome it.
The process of grief and grieving through this book, how much healing has this process brought to you?
Oh, my gosh. This is just a part of my healing journey, a big part of my healing journey, because I went through so many different things to start this healing journey, especially the way my daughter died and I had to find her. Her death really crippled me. And so I went through a multitude of things to heal. Writing this book is just a continuance of my healing journey. And it's a way to honor both of my daughter's memory. And it's a way to be a beacon of hope to those in the community that are also going through child loss.
What can a person expect when reading this book?
They can expect to be inspired. They can see themselves in our stories and see that, you know, if they're going through this, then there's hope for me as well.
Mm. Very good. The name of the book, again, Soaring on Angels' Wings.
Grief Through Our Eyes.
This is Tracy Dancy. I want to thank you so much for your time. And you know what? I always allow people, especially guests such as yourself, one last message that you want to give to our community.
I would say if you are in that grieving process, do not be passive when it comes to seeking help. Therapy, counseling, it works. It may not be for everyone, but it actually helps. And I'm not ashamed to say I've gone through it. I was in therapy 3 days out of the week trying to get back to some type of normalcy. As we know, normal is no longer normal for us because we're living a new life without the ones that we love, not here in the physical, but they are here within our hearts.
I'm Jose Canelario. This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. We just heard the kind and inspirational words of Tracy Dancy, Soaring on Angels' Wings.
Grief Through Our Eyes.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Canelario. Right now, I'm joined by yet another author from Soaring on Angels' Wings, Grief Through Our Eyes, Joy Harvin. Welcome, Joy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and where you grew up.
Born and raised in New Haven. I have my mom and dad were from North Carolina, but migrated here 50 plus years ago. So I was actually one of the first babies born in our family here. Like, my brother came 10 years before me. So I have a brother that's 10 years older. I'm next. And then I have two younger siblings.
Tell me a little about your parents.
So my father's deceased several years ago, 2016. He was something. Arthur Woodrow Dildy was a force to be reckoned with. I actually have been noted to say that I remind people of him through me because I'm a little feisty at times. But I appreciate him. We didn't always get along, but in the later days, I learned to appreciate his personality.
Your mom, what type of woman was she?
My mom is a saint. She is a saint to put up with me and my siblings. Always the fixer. She's always there supporting us in anything that we do. I wouldn't be the woman that I am without her today. I really appreciate her.
What kind of ethic do you get from her that you carry with you?
I could give you a quick example. Like, just yesterday, my aunt passed away, which is someone that's not really related to us, but we were born and raised in the church. So nowadays, we don't really have that type of experience. Like, our church was our family. So when we went, this lady knew me before I was even born. And so it hit different. People say, is that your aunt? I can't explain how it's my aunt. It's just my aunt. Because, you know, born and raised by love, not by blood. Mm. So my mom taught us that family is everything, regardless of the relationship.
Mm. Can you tell me a little bit about a little story from your mom growing up?
So born and raised in church. So that's how I got my name. I can tell you that my mother was and is a devout Christian. Like to this day, she was pregnant with me. And she shouted through her pregnancy, if anyone knows about, you know, those type of relationships with Christianity. And the reasons why my name is Joy was because she was so happy to be having a baby. And I was a girl, so that made it even better.
Grew up in New Haven. What schools did you go to?
James Hill House High School, class of 93. The only school that you could ever go to.
Give me a teacher's name from Hill House. I really touched you.
The principal, Mr. Garris, Lonnie Garris, Mr. Ben Hunter. I mean, we can go on and on about our teachers. Miss Susan Gilliam, Dr. Susan Gilliam. Just relationships. You couldn't have had a better school. Couldn't have had a better upbringing than James Hill House High School.
What did it mean to see people of color in such positions of, you know, authority that, you know, earned your respect? Because you still call him Mr. Hunter.
Yes. It was always like that for me. I went to Lincoln Bassett. I went to Jackie Robinson, all black. Mr. Oh, my God. He's going to kill me if I can't get his name out. Mr. He's on the Board of Education. Mr. Joyner, I'm sorry. Mr. Joyner was our principal at Jackie Robinson. We've always had black, strong, excellent examples. So, I mean, that's all I knew. So, that I mean, it was nothing to see us in Hill House. That's what I expected.
Did you end up going to college?
I did. So what I did was I actually was pregnant with my daughter in high school. But back then, they didn't make you go to the Polly McCabe. So I went my whole 9 months at James Hill House High School. I went through, finished school. I graduated on June 19th, and I had my baby July 10th of 1993.
How was college for you?
College, I waited. So actually, I did my family first. So I became a mom young. I got married. I had children. So I did my family first, and then I went back to school. So I ended up going back to Albertus Magnus. Then I did 2 years and then had a situation to where I had to raise my grandson, and I kind of put my life on hold because I've always done my family. So right now, I'm going back to school. So I'll be back in school in September in my old age.
But it's never too old to learn and give up on your dreams.
Never. So I've done so many things. I have a lot of information behind my belt. Several business classes that I've taken. I'm fortunate to take part of the small business initiatives through the city of New Haven. Just finished that. I just finished the one in Hamden. I just finished the small business academy for Livable City. For Liberty Bank. So, I mean, I'm always in the business of learning, so I'm never stopping. But my formal education, I will complete.
That's okay. No, yeah. It's commendable when people don't give up on their dreams, and it's never too late. And it's okay to put your family first.
Absolutely.
And then get back to work on yourself.
Well, actually, I mean, I don't recommend it. I'm only going to say what happened was we need to bring back the going, practicing abstinence before marriage, not getting pregnant. We're solidifying these baby showers, glorifying them. No offense, we appreciate the fact that you didn't abort your child, but if you're not married, that's not the way that we want you to go. We don't want you to start your life out like that, because I'm a devout Christian and I believe in God, the principles of how it's supposed to be. We should have marriage first, then we have our children. We get our lives established. Before even children, if you want to get married, go to college. Get your education out of the way, because it's harder when you have children. I mean, I don't say that you can't do it. It's just harder.
Very good. you get involved? How you get involved with this book?
So Crystal Jones is my friend. And she had lost her son a year or two before I lost my daughter. And so her niece, Tanasia, I always mix them up, Tanasia, she would say, Miss Joy, my aunt wants to talk to you. You know, she wants to know how you're doing. And I'm saying, like, it's not me. It's God. Like, it may seem like I'm just walking around like everything's okay, but to lose a child is something that you could never explain or you could never even get over. Like, you're always going to be grieving them. But I had to decide not to stay in a place to where I was stuck, because the first 30 days, I don't remember when she passed away. But I had to say, okay, God, I know that I believe in you. I need you to help me get through this. I know that I can't be like this. And then I know that I want to eventually help somebody else through this very difficult process. So Crystal found out about the initiative through Tracy Dancy. And she introduced me to it. And at first I was a little reluctant. And then I said, I didn't know if I was ready to really tell it, because it brings out a lot of emotions, raw emotions, things that you haven't really dealt with in a long time. And so when it came to the forefront, it was like, okay, Joy, you're going to do it. I didn't know that I was even going to make it to the end, because I kind of wrote my chapter the last minute. But it's my story, so I can tell it. So
this was more this process and working as a team and stuff. It was almost like group therapy, wasn't it?
My sisters. If you were, we just had our book signing. And it was so wonderful. And I said in my comments, these are my sisters for life. We now have a kinship that maybe some may not understand. Like, these are my sisters because they understand me. And they know exactly how I'm feeling because they were definitely in my shoes.
How important is it to go out there and share your story?
We're here. I think that sometimes we think that we go through things for ourselves, but it's actually for somebody else. You may not understand it when you're going through it, but it's actually to help somebody else. So you go through, you get through it, and then you're able to help somebody else. So that's why we're here. And that's what we want to do. We want to just let you know that even though it's difficult, you can make it. You can get through it. You'll have a sisterhood. You have us. You can contact us. We're definitely available to be your source of even an outlet. Even somebody to talk to, somebody you just want to say, hey, I'm just having a bad day today. Hey, I'm here, because I definitely know, because I've been there.
Joy Harvin, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm the co-author here for Soaring on Angels' Wings, Grief Through Our Eyes. I'm Jose Candelario, and this is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.